This is it.
Level 23.
Final.
Final.
Final round.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's
go. Almost.
Help.
Guys.
All right, I need
more
power. Boost your broadband to turbocharge your gaming and reduce lag with EE Game Mode. Even when everyone's online, this is broadband made for gaming. Search EE Broadband.
EE Game Mode requires EE Smart Hub Plus. To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
Let me bang,
I do let you bang.
Let me bang, you can't bang.
I let you
bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! No for gay Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
No problem. Whenever you can get here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm coming to you from Singapore here with Bill Dawes, who's looking ripped, man. You have one of those bodies that you get like fat and then you get ripped like overnight. Like, good work, man. You look strong as hell.
Well, no, I'm you sit from here up. Going down is still messy.
No, I've seen you. I've seen your body more than I've seen like my wife's because of all your posts on Instagram and
try to see if my ex-girlfriend will watch out.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
No, oh. But
dude,
am I?
I who knows? My wife came and visited me in Japan because we went to.
Oh, cool.
I just got back from Taiwan. Now I'm in Singapore. Before that, I was in Japan, and before that, Australia. I went to Hong Kong. We're going to Malaysia next, and then the Philippines, and it was cool because they like went to Disney, and then we met up. So that was awesome. Like my daughter coming out of the elevator and just running to give me the hug.
That's the best feeling.
How long
has it been? You've been like 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks. I was like tearing, and then you know. But it's funny, like you go from like having no responsibility as a dad to like daddy, and it's like. Like wipe me out, like I was like, you know. But and then my wife and I, we got along pretty much great for the most part until like you know sometimes after the show, like you want to see who said good job or whatever. Like it's like
of course
I get enough laughter, I have to like make sure it really happened, you know. So my wife was like, we took like a bath. And then she was like getting ready to like have sex. And then I'm checking my Instagram. And then some girl had like beat cancer, breast cancer. And I'm like, oh, you know, you never know what people are like dealing with. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, on Instagram. Why are you on Instagram right now? And then to make it to like triple down, I was like, but she had cancer and shouldn't you? She's like, well, I'm right here and I'm your wife. And then I'm like, yeah. And then I go, this reminds me of that time when I was with my ex, and then the girl before her texted me and said like she got like raped or something, and then I was like, huh?
Oh my god!
And then my ex was like, what are you, the rape hotline? So I was like, shouldn't you be more concerned about this fellow woman, dude? It was so. Then I brought that up, which made it even. So she's like, why are you talking about your ex? So yeah, this is all. It was all me. But we made up, and everything was good. Don, how are you?
I'm good. I'm better than you, that's for sure. We already have sex. I don't check my Instagram.
No, yeah. you're absolutely right.
Instagram is the death of like most modern relationships, I would say.
Dude, I really wish there was no. I think social media is like one of the worst inventions ever. I think it's ruined people being social. It's ruined people exploring. It's not about what's in front of you. It's about what's on a phone, people reacting to you. It's made people so, it's led to so much bullying. You know, you just become scared to be a parent now because of all the online shit. It was so much easier, I think, before. And I know every generation says it was like better before, but I really think it was better before. I honestly believe it was better before.
I mean, there's a lot of studies showing that social media is like a completely quantum leap difference in like the way that societies behave. You know what I mean? It's not like difference. When we were young in the previous generation, we just had like more TV. Like that was the difference. You know what I mean?
Well, people would also maybe computers. Like remember the good old days when if you got bullied, they had to actually bully you, you know, and then you could stand up to them. Now people just, they hide behind, they just hide. It's just, it's ridiculous, dude. And meanwhile,
and it doesn't end. I mean, I'm like 50 years old now and I still get bullied online.
Really?
That's because you're naked all the time.
Don, I can't see.
Pretty much.
Anyway, put your camera on, Don, or do I have to just look at a blank screen? I like seeing the great Don.
Oh, I put my camera on. I thought it was going shit.
I like how McCorkle also helped plan this and is also not here. And then I don't even get me wrong where like mayhem is. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning where I am. And, you know, I had to write all day for Gutfeld and I had a show. Meanwhile, so I do the show in Singapore and I think it went great, especially because starting from zero, because I have to, there's no like opener, feature, headliner.
Oh, it's just a two-person show?
A two-person show. So I go on for 25 minutes and then Russell does like an hour. And I could tell like a couple minutes in, people are like translating my jokes to English. You could just see their faces like, because at like minute 6 or 7 or 8, that's when it kind of pops. And I go from like some laughs to like applause. So the show goes like this. I think it's great. I'm on cloud 9. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And then after the show at the meet and greet, people are like, tough crowd, huh? Like at least
I hate that.
Two or three. And then one guy wrote me a whole thing on Instagram on how to make my show better.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, motherfucker, like, I I'm going on from zero. I'm going on from zero in a different language and still doing well and like this. And I know going in, it's like you're coming in cold and then you're going to give me, dude, it's brutal. I mean, I hate it when people are like, and then some girl goes to me, tough crowd, huh? And I go, and I have to pretend like, oh no, they were great. You know, dude, I actually love them. And then, and then she goes to Russell and she's like, you know, you were my inspiration for comedy. I'm a comedian too. And look, I did your act on stage. And then shows her a video of her doing his act. And then she goes,
whoa,
she goes, but I gave you credit. I'm like, you can't do someone's act and then give them
credit. It was a tribute show.
Do people not know that you're not allowed to like just do someone's act and give them credit?
Yeah, I think some people don't know that. Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Don, it's how's your life?
Musician and cover band. Yeah.
Don, what's going on with you?
I have no idea what's going on with this damn phone. No idea what's going on with this phone.
All right. Well, thank you. But it was great seeing my kid and my daughter, my wife. It was like, it was just, that was one of the best. And they got to go to Japan for the first time. And it's funny because they
went
to Disneyland and people were just stopping them. And I think they thought she was a princess because she was dressed up like a princess. And people were just randomly taking pictures of her. Take a picture.
Wait, your daughter or your wife? Your
my
wife.
My daughter. People are randomly taking pictures of like my daughter. And then we went to go this, dude, in Japan, it's crazy. We went to this otter cafe where there's like 20 otters and they sit on you and like you could play with them. It's a whole family of otters. Like, and
They
also have a pig cafe next to it where little piggies come on you, which in America, that would get shut down in 3 seconds. Can you imagine having an otter cafe? And then we go to this other place. And they have capybaras. I was like petting monkey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had like, you know, pelicans and what are those called? They were in Madagascar. The one that Ali G, Sasha Baron were playing. Those whatever.
Lemur.
Yeah, lemurs. Just all running around. We could pet all of them. It was like Don's like in the Twilight Zone right now. I'm looking at him right now. He's like black and white. And it's almost like I'm looking at the ghost of Don Fry. So
shit, I'm dead. I'm in heaven. I'm talking to you from above.
But it's just so funny sometimes. Like you go to other countries, like you think they would ever just have like lemurs and capybaras and like monkeys just running around in a cafe. So anyway,
did you do the thing where you go to the there's like a pond and the fish like eat your feet? They eat like the skin off your feet.
They have that everywhere, and that's supposed to be so bad for you. People are getting getting diseases from that because they're taking like basically your skin and putting it into someone's other skin. And that's so bad. It's bad for the fish. It's bad for the people. Yeah, it just looks uncomfortable. I don't know whoever thought of that as a good idea of like, I'm going to have a goldfish eat your toes. But so Don is now dead. Don, I saw a picture of you and Mark, you and Mark Coleman hanging out. Is that true?
Yeah. We did a autograph signing in South Carolina last weekend.
How was that?
It was good. It was good. We had a lot of fun.
How's Coleman?
Coleman's great, man. He looks great. He's working out 12, 14 hours a day to stay away from the alcohol. You know, so he's in phenomenal shape, man. Shit.
Yeah, I remember he was going to have a boxing match, and he looked great. He was on some kind of weird diet, and then his liver gave out or something happened. But now, by the way, so in MMA news, the GFL pulled out of their two-day event, which is a shocker. That thing that was going to have like Luke Rockhold versus Wyman and Uriah Faber and all these people were signed on for it. It got canceled. I guess.
Did they get a reason why?
I guess the people that were going to put the money into it didn't. I mean, I was all looking forward to it. It was basically like a I Love the 90s concert for MMA. and I was all about it. But I guess they said that they're not going to cancel their thing. It's just like the other ones aren't canceled yet. But I don't know if this is really going to happen, to be totally honest. So tomorrow, Volkanovski versus Diego Lopez for the vacant featherweight championship. So that's going to be a good fight, man. I mean, I really hope Volkanovski wins. It's hard to root against this guy. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Family guy.
Yeah.
Good father, good fighter.
Why is it vacant again? What happened?
The guy, what's his name? The champion moved up, which is
guy. Okay.
Yeah. The guy that beat Volkanovski. Who am I thinking of? Ila Tapara moved up to one.
Oh, that's right.
155. So now it's Diego Lopez, who looks like he went to Supercuts and got like one of everything. He has like a mullet comb over. But the guy is a badass. He's 26-6. He beat Brian Ortega. He beat Dan Ige. He knocked out Sadiq Youssef. He beat Pat Sabatini. And his last loss was in 2023 to this guy Masvar Uvlayev, who I mean that's looking like a good win right now. Who's 19-0, just beat Aljamain Sterling. That was a weird fight. I thought Aljamain kind of won that fight. I don't know why that guy's not fighting for the title. You think he would be fighting for it? But yeah, so that's fighting for. I guess Volkanovski's that's gonna be a good fight. Who do we like in this fight, Don Fry?
I like Volkanovski. I'm a fan of Volkanovski, but you know, if Lopez beat Brian, he's gonna be tough, you know.
Yeah, and he's on a 2-fight losing streak. Volkanovski, he got knocked out his last two fights. He got knocked out by Ilya Topura. He lost by Islam Makhachev. His last win was against Yair Rodriguez. So, and then he lost to Islam before that. So he's lost 3 out of 4. And Yair Rodriguez looks like kind of, I hate to say it, but a shell of himself. Bill, who do we like in this fight?
I mean, I like Volkanovski too, but I think it might not be his time anymore.
I know. It's kind of like the UFC, I think, wants him to win. They need a star. They like this guy. He's you know, but yeah, it kind of, I mean, he's got some.
Well, you got a Russian with the Australian accent, you know, so it just
unique. Yeah, that's true.
It seems
like Diego Lopez looks really good, too.
It seems like he almost got old overnight. Don, did you get old overnight or did you get old over a long time?
It took a long time, man, but more when it hits hard, you know.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've heard that like the first time you get knocked out in a fight, you never really, it completely changes the way you fight from then on. Like once you get that first time you get knocked out, you're never, 100% confident the way you were before that. Is that true?
No, it never bothered me because I was stoned, you know, my last 10 fights or 12 fights, you know, shit. So.
You were stoned the last 10 fights?
When I started losing, yes, because I was taking those damn pills, you know, I went in there stoned.
Well, I mean, you had a record of 20-9, Don, which is...
Yeah, that's good.
But you won your first... Hold on, let me see. But Don won his first... he won his first 1-2. You beat Thomas Ramirez, that fat guy that was like 100-0 in street fighting or something. This guy was huge. This guy must have been, and Don won in 8 seconds. He won in 8 seconds that fight. Then you beat Sam Atkins, you beat Gary Goodrich. Submission by position. What does that mean? How do you submit a guy by position?
Hell, I don't know. Who's that against?
Against Gary Goodrich the first time.
He just tapped out, you know.
Yeah, so were you mounting him? And he tapped?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I was in his guard, I think. I don't know. Shit, you asked me to remember a long time ago.
You don't even know why he tapped? He just tapped?
I started punching, and he was exhausted.
Wow. So that was only 2 minutes and 14 seconds into the first round.
Yeah.
Then you beat Mark Hall. You beat Brian Johnston. Your first loss was to Mark Coleman. 1, 2, 3, 4. You were 6-0 for that. And then you beat Mark Hall again by forearm choke. What's a forearm choke?
We press the forearm against the throat. You know?
So
yeah, you got one behind his neck and one in front of his throat, you know, and you just kind of clamp him up.
Kind of like an Ezekiel?
I don't know what Ezekiel is. I'll take your word for it.
Wait, now, did you make that choke up, or was that you actually practiced that?
Yeah, I just made it up when I was on the fly, yeah.
That's great.
That's crazy because I mean, you obviously no one wants someone's forearm in their neck, but were you even choking him out or was this the pressure?
No, because I had my one arm behind his neck and then one arm on his throat and just grab hold of your bicep and then you push down with push your elbow down, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Bill, you're a black belt. Have you ever tapped anyone out by forearm choke?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like an Ezekiel choke, sort of.
Yeah.
Which is the gay jiu-jitsu version. But this is a little bit different. It's almost like you did like a rear naked choke from the front.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you beat Gary Goodrich. You beat Gary Goodrich again. He lost by fatigue. who's writing
fatigue,
this?
Fatigue, submission by submission. We never heard of any of these things.
By fatigue.
Yeah, he's always making this shit up.
And then you got this, and then you keep Gilbert Iville. You said he got disqualified for eye gouging, crazy. So at one point you were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You were 15-1 at one point.
And then my career went down. I started taking pills.
Yeah, your first loss was to Yoshida, but that was a weird fight, right?
Oh, yeah, I was stoned. Yeah.
You beat Tank Abbott, and then you lost to Yoshida. You lost to Coleman again by decision, though. So you didn't lose by stopping.
Were you and Coleman always friends, or did you just have really bad blood?
No, he had bad blood at that first fight. Yeah, I mean, I hated him, you know, because I woke up sick that day, and I just got sicker as the night went on, and then I got dehydrated, you know, and that's why at the ultimate, I brought a buddy of mine, a guy named Dave Nortz. He was a fireman, and after my first fight against Goodrich. That night, I had him stick an IV in me, and I took three bags of IV, you know, after that first fight.
Damn.
So I'm as fresh as a daisy, you know?
Damn. Yeah. That's crazy. Somebody had like a crazy Don Fry story, by the way. Somebody asked me to ask you the thing. All right. So somebody wrote to me, Don Fry, forgot who it was. I get people that ask me questions to ask you on the, on the podcast, by the way. This guy, Miller and Fry, here he goes. Here we go. Don Fry, this guy, Eric Cherry, he keeps writing me stuff. In Japan, blah, blah, blah. Don Fry was at a bar on Wall Street with Brian Johnson. They were both drunk. Brian leaves. Don hears bottles breaking outside, runs outside to see Brian fighting 10 guys. Don joins in and starts dropping guys. A guy punched Don, then ran to a cab and locked himself in. Didn't stop Don as he smashed a window, pulled him out, proceeded to lay down a beating. Don didn't notice, but cops were surrounding him watching this take place. They waited for Don to finish beating him up, and then Don took pictures with the cops.
Don, tell me you remember that, Don.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, parts of it, yeah. They arrested me, and they arrested Brian, and we got there to the police station, and then somebody recognized me, I think, and then we started taking photos there at the police station.
So you grabbed the guy out of the car, ripped him out of the car, and started beating him up?
I punched him. I punched the window out.
I mean,
whoa.
Now, wasn't your hand all bloody?
Hell, I don't remember. I was so drunk. I must not have been very bloody.
So you got arrested and the cops took pictures with you?
Yeah. We all started, we get there at the station and we're all, putting our arms around each other, taking photos and signing autographs. And then I had to pay for the window. And, they charge as much as you want. And it's usually, they hit you for a grand for the window, but they only hit me for a couple of hundred,
That's worth it.
Yeah.
McCorkle just joined us, which is great.
Yay, John.
Sean's gonna want to hear this story. That might be the funniest fucking thing. I can't believe. So your friend was fighting, and you're like, fuck it, I'm actually gonna come and just defend him.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. Fuck. Your buddy's being attacked. You get up there and you help him out. We had a good fight going until, Brian, it was during the summertime. So, we were trying to be Japanese-esque. So we were wearing sandals. And Brian takes him off his sandals while he's fighting, kicks him off. And the next thing, he's standing in the glass. Cut his feet up real bad. And then I go chasing after that guy while I'm wearing a pair of sandals. So probably wasn't the speediest foot race, Shit.
Sean, you hear that? So there was a fight in Japan. Don's friend was getting beat up. Then Don just starts dropping everybody, like 10 guys. Pulls a guy out of the car, grounds and pounds him, gets arrested, and then the cops take pictures with Don. In Hawaii, or it happened in Hawaii.
Japan.
Oh, Japan. All right, next topic. Somebody asked me. I remember hearing a Don Fry.
Is that one of them stories where it's like, again, is that one of them stories where, hey, my friend is kind of gay. What would you think about that? And it was really Don that was getting beat up and someone else came to his rescue.
No, that really, he says that really happened. And then I goes, I remember hearing Don Fry had a fan in Japan that was this big guy. He was like 6'2", 250 pounds, that would follow Don around for autographs. At one point, he requested Don's underwear and for him to sign it. is this true, Don?
Yeah, it's true. I told him to get the hell away from me.
You didn't do it? You didn't sign the underwear?
No. Wow.
See, it was they, what you didn't know is the guy requested his underwear and Don said, I just put him back on. What do you mean?
You shouldn't ask me on the ground.
So there was a Japanese guy followed you around asking for your underwear?
He just asked for it that one time.
So Mayhem tells him to go to the gay cowboy convention in Thailand. Why did you tell me to go to the gay cowboy convention?
I told you to go to the cowboy district, which I knew you wouldn't know what that is. And then once you got there, it was a bunch of ladyboys, and I get this moment of joy.
How do you know about this, Jason?
Well, how do I know? I'm a professional around there. Everybody knows me in the cowboy district.
Yeah, exactly.
You get seat views. You get the lowest price guarantee, and you have ticket coverage. All right, so they cover it. All right, so go to the Game Time app, create an account, use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. All right, terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code CLNS, $20 off. Live events are so much fun. There's nothing like it. And I highly recommend, like 10 out of 10. And I'm telling you, I'm not just talking shit here, okay? I have the actual Game Time app, and I use this app more than I do any other app for tickets, okay? Because they got all kinds of great stuff, and it's super easy to use. So you're going to thank me afterwards and have fun.
How do you think he had a
cowboy district when I got there with nothing but a cowboy hat and some assless chaps? Look at all these
right now. All chaps are assless, and so are their chaps.
The MVP gala, merging veterans and pros, I mean players, to hopefully accept an award for the true grit performance of the year.
I feel like I'm in a mental hospital right now. I feel like I'm in a mental hospital. It's the greatest. Fucking Fry looks like he's dead. He looks like an angel. Like, if you look at Angel.
I am an angel.
Mayhem's in a shopping mall. Fucking McCorkle.
No, I'm not in a shopping mall. I'm at the airport getting recognized for the Adam Carolla show. I'm like doing a podcast about a podcast in the airport about a podcast.
McCorkle is driving. Who knows where the fuck he's going? McCorkle's like... How many illegal Mexicans are in his back seat? How many businesses he has? And Bill Dawes.
No, it's awesome.
Well, go on.
Bill has his shirt on, so things are really fucked up today.
Yeah. Damn it.
All right, so we talked about tomorrow. Volkanovski versus Lopez. Mayhem, who wins this fight?
Oh, man. Listen, Lopez, this motherfucker up. I think that's what's going to happen. I don't know. I was like, looking at footage of Lopez and then realizing that Volkanovski got switched off in that last fight, I think it's... I don't know. I want Volk to win. I think a lot of people want him to win, but wanting some don't always make it happen, does it?
No. You're absolutely
why,
right.
Why? What do you guys think? You think that Volk's got it or what?
What my heart wants is kind of what you just said. My heart wants Volkanovski. Who I think is going to win is Diego Lopez.
I win, dog.
Do you think if Volkanovski loses, you think he's out of the UFC?
I don't think so. He's a fan favorite. Look, I would, if I was the UFC, if it was my business, that guy would be fighting tomato cans every other Australia. But, you know, they're going to throw him to the wolves right here. Lopez is going to, you know what I mean? Going to send Volkanovski somewhere. I hope not. But, you know, the good money, the smart money says Lopez wins that fight.
Timlett versus Michael Chandler. Another fight where, like, you would ask me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I'd be like, this is not even going to be close. All day, Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler all day. But you look, Paddy Pimblett has won his last. Paddy Pimblett's on a, let me see, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He hasn't lost since 2018. He's on a 7-fight winning streak, whereas Michael Chandler is 23-9, but in the UFC, I believe, is 2-7. He lost to Oliveira. He lost to Poirier. He knocked out Tony Ferguson.
Here's what's a little.
Yeah, go on.
Here's what's a little different in my opinion about this one is that if Mike Chandler fights like a smart fight, I think he could win that fight because the wrestling, Paddy Pimblett's stellar, but like he's good at wrestling, good at, he's great at jiu-jitsu, right? But he, if Mike Chandler fights smart, I think he could like get him down and ground him out and wear him out. But I don't think Mike Chandler likes to fight smart.
I don't think he cares anymore. I think he's almost got used to losing, and that's a terrible place to be. I think as a fighter, is to accept the fact that like, yeah, I lost, but I'm exciting. So fans like me.
Adam, but he lost to Oliveira. You know what I mean? Right. He lost to like the elite guys. Poirier, so it's not like
Gaethje.
And he's super strong. And he's like the perfect gatekeeper because he's got like a high level of technique. But the problem is he like just goes with reckless abandon. He's one of those dudes who just gets fired up and just throws punches and kicks and like really doesn't have any his game plan goes out the window. He just fights like he fights. And so Paddy Pimblett, look, if I'm cornering him, I'm like, yo, man, let's keep smart and disciplined and go two rounds and then turn it up in the third round because this guy is going to make a mistake, you know?
Were you ever like that? Did you ever have reckless abandon in your fights?
Oh, I know you just asked questions you already know the answer to.
I'm at a
tough spot. I just went ballistic and there you go.
I mean, no, but I feel like you always had a game plan, and I feel like you pretty much stuck to the plan most of the time.
But sometimes I would lose my game plan with a damn attitude, you know what I mean? Too much coffee that morning, and I out of nowhere, I'm suddenly in a bad position, or sometimes I'd be in a good position.
But I feel like I feel like you never went punch for punch with anybody.
Nah, I was smart enough to fucking get out of that situation. But yeah, but still, certain game plans went out the window. Sometimes I would do some wild shit that I probably shouldn't have. Like when I kipped up against George St. Pierre, like why? Oh, just for the audience approval. And hey, and I'm still coasting off that, but you know, now I'm just doing a podcast at LAX, you know?
Wait, you did a kip up and the octagon? That's fucking bananas.
Yeah, but look, it would have worked on anybody else, but George St. Pierre's eyeballs were so fast that he just kicked me in the face when I did that.
What's a kip up?
Yeah.
It's like a breakdance move where you're on your back and you push your hands and you jump to your feet from your back.
Yeah, I did that, but it was pretty funny. Go back and watch it. It's hilarious.
Bill, who do you like in the fight? You like Chandler or Paddy Pimblett?
I mean, like Chandler has a wrestling, and obviously wrestling versus jiu-jitsu, wrestling is going to win, right?
But against Oliveira, he got taken down 27 times against a jiu-jitsu guy.
Oh, Oliveira took him down 27. Jesus Christ, yeah.
27 times.
I used to really like Chandler. Maybe he's kind of fallen off a bit.
No, he's an All-American wrestler. All-American wrestler.
Listen, we've seen it a million times where guys who are great wrestlers stop wrestling and they just become kickboxer dudes. And that's what Chandler is right now. Hey, look, if I'm coaching Chandler, I'm saying, hey, man, let's get takedown after takedown. Round one, take them down and ground them out. Make them tired. But like I said, everybody's a kickboxer these days. He's not going to take them down. He's not going to be smart. He's not going to fight real smart. He's going to fight for what the crowd wants. And he's going to probably pay the price.
I hope not. I happen to like Chandler as a human being. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a great guy, solid guy. I don't understand. I mean, I guess I do understand. I just, you know, it's like anything else, man. I think he'd be better off without social media. It's like he wants everyone, all the adulation. He wants all the likes. He wants this. He wants that. Just fucking win. Just get off social. Like the best thing that what's his name has done recently, O'Malley, is got off social media completely. He completely got off. And now I think he's going to be dangerous again because he's like, he's done. You know, these people, social media is such a fucking horrible thing for people like us who need adulation. People that thrive off that. People that are missing something in their life. And I'm the person.
Yes.
I never had my mother kind of love me. You know, I had a fucking stepmom who mistreated me and my sister. I got sent to fucking boarding school, and now I'm a comedian and I can't even get enough approval. I have to like get the laughs, go back and check my Instagram and see who liked it. And if I don't get enough likes, I go, oh, maybe I didn't have as good of a set as I didn't have. Or, you know, 100 people say great set. One person goes, tough crowd. And then that fucking bothers me for the rest of the day. I get it. I fucking get it.
And I still do all that stuff. So don't think that it's just you, pal. I'm still checking comments. And the one guy says something mean to me, I'm back on Twitter for 45 minutes on the toilet telling him, I'm going to kill you.
I hate it. And some people are just better at like dealing with
this is how I may roast. To 600 people, a podcast disturbing the entire LAX line right now, pissing everybody off. Everyone's looking at me like a psycho, and I'm screaming that I'm going to kill people.
Well, you're better than Bill Dawes, who has fucking rollerblades around LAX. Literally, he shows up with a fanny pack and rollerblades like such an asshole at LAX. And people are like, who is this fucking guy? Anyway, all right.
Great.
So, all right. Also on this card is Bryce Mitchell, who Bryce Mitchell went from like the most loved fighter in the UFC. People were like, get him camo pants. And he's hilarious. And he's from like a redneck guy who will be lovable. And I don't care. If but then when you start saying, I want to go with Hitler and the dirty Jews. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? To the point where everyone just likes this guy, John Silva, who I think he's from Spain. the American crowd at the weigh-ins are booing Bryce Mitchell, which
also, it's crazy. He went from being so popular to
so popular, but also it kind of gives me hope. I hope he's not like, because the thing about some people on Twitter were like, he's got a point and Jews are dirty and they are greedy and, you know, Israel. And you're like, oh, you know what? You forget that that's just such a fringe group of people. It's such a fringe, but they're the loudest. For some reason, these people are the fucking loudest. Bryce Mitchell,
I hope he gets. Hey, look, everybody hopes he gets obliterated like the Gaza Strip.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Look, man, I still think Bryce Mitchell is a good person. I think he's just misinformed. But even that, yesterday at the press conference, they were like, hey, you know, Dana White said that you were the dumbest person in the history of the UFC. Anything you want to say? And he's like, no one's going to tell me, except for Jesus, how to raise my kid. What?
Look, I don't know how that guy is so angry when he looks like a trans influencer.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what genocide he's trying to get after, but he's going to get it this fucking weekend.
He'll win. Maybe he'll win. You know,
when I saw that, I didn't see the weigh-in yet, but when I saw that press conference, it looked to me that Bryce is like humongous compared to that guy. That guy is dinky, and the guy's real fast, and I'm a big fan of that guy after that last performance where he just fucking put it on that dude. I'm a big fan, but then when I see the size difference, I'm like, oh, okay. And then the fact that Bryce is an adept wrestler, I think he might be able to actually, you know what I mean, IDF that guy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let's change the course of this. But the thing is that that guy also missed weight the first time. So that's not a good sign. Yair Rodriguez, who at one point was just a monster, and he's still a monster. Not look good in his last couple fights. He's fighting Patricio Pitbull. I don't even know the difference in the Pitbull. I hate to say it. I can never know which one's Patricia and Patricio. I'm not sure why the parents would name them with like one letter difference. But I mean, I know they're both badass fighters. They're both been around though. They have like, I don't know, 9,000 fights between them. Like they're just tough. Now, you've trained in Brazil, Sam?
Boulder.
I don't even, but did you train with these guys? You train with these guys, right? In Brazil?
Yeah, which guy? Patricio?
Yeah, Patricio. But what was it like? Yeah. What was it like training with those guys?
Bro, it was crazy. You know what it was? I was in like Oompa Loompa land or something like that because everybody was lightweight. And then they jumped me at the end of it, bro. They jumped me. Like,
I would love to hear these stories without the pauses.
No, no. Bro, he bit me on the ass. He bit me on the ass. The pit bull bit me on the ass. And I don't know. I'm going, look where I'm.
No, you're going through it. This is the most dysfunctional fuck. I think Don died. He showed up as a ghost. Don got into a fucking car accident. Mayhem's about to fucking go.
By the way,
every time I go to
the work, leave the phone on that we can hear what the inner workings of the machine.
Through the X-ray machine.
Every time I go through airport security, I go like this and say DDP, Diamond Cutter, just like my own joke. Great. This is great. Well, this is the worst fucking podcast. I know why we have 300 people. Who would listen to this fucking show? Whoever's still listening.
Are you glad you stayed up till 2 a.m. to do this?
I was on the way out before you said, are we doing this? I'm like, oh, fuck, we are supposed to do this. Dominic Reyes, who I think beat John Jones, but then lost like 175 fights in a row. He's fighting Nikita Kirillov. He won his last fight, though. I hope Dominic fucking wins. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Dan Ige is fighting Jim Miller versus Chase Hooper. Chase Hooper, I don't know what happened to him, but he's looking like a fucking killer. He beat Clay Guida. His striking is good. He beat Slava Claus, who was like supposedly like, or not supposedly, is this like K1, kickboxer monster. Something happened to Chase now where he actually is striking, because he's a kid that was just getting.
Wait, is he winning by submission or is he winning by strikes?
He's knocking people down, strikes, and then submitting them. Like his last fight against Chase Hooper, he put out some crazy submission. He's looking unbeatable. Not unbeatable. He's looking great. And Jim Miller has to be 190 years old, but he keeps winning. Yeah. He keeps winning. But I think Chase has got this. Although you can never count Jim Miller out, because every time I do that, it's like, John, how are you, man? You look like you're out of breath.
No, man, just irritated. I stopped all my jobs today and drove all the way home because Carvana, long story, Carvana delivers from Indianapolis, right? So I drive to Indianapolis today and I was like, hey, you delivered me a truck. Why don't you just give it to me in Indianapolis instead? They're like, no, that won't work. And I'm like, but you're coming from Indianapolis. Yeah, you got to stick with the original delivery address. And I'm like, okay. And they're on their way. So I drive all the way home and they hit me up and like, hey, by the way, we can deliver in Indianapolis, but it'll be the 14th instead, like 3 or 4 days. I was like, no, I'm at home. I'm ready. No, we rescheduled it in Indianapolis.
Oh, God.
After I drove an hour and 15 minutes home.
Why does everyone fuck with you? Everybody fucks with you.
I don't know, dude. It's like the burden a white man has to carry in this world. Hey, did you see my
God.
What did I see? What?
You see my name, my screen name on here?
YN Big Sexy. Is that a rapper name or something? Or
I don't know. I just like, I think YN sounds good in front of my name.
I don't even know. I don't even want to ask. Okay. But
you know what I mean? Never mind. It's a great joke.
I can probably figure it out. Does Carvana really deliver the, do they actually have that place where the cars go under? Does that really happen or no?
Yeah, like a vending machine. They used to. Yeah. Now they just deliver them to your house. They're actually, you pay like $2,000 more than you should pay, but you can get any car you want. And you can, like, I just switched one out after driving it for a week because another one I like better. They're not charging me to switch it out. So it actually works out pretty good for me anyway. You pay a little more, but you get the color you want. And they buy up everything. So they get like,
and so Mayhem is going through security right now. I can actually see the phone going in that.
Dude, that's got to be breaking some kind of law. He's filming the inside of the X-ray machine. I don't know.
Dude, this is we are such fuck ups in like the best possible way. This is such a fucking disaster.
We're like the Bad News Bears of podcasts.
This really is. This really is.
You know, you've never heard the rappers that start their name with YN on everything.
I have.
What does YN stand for?
What do you think? Young and then.
Okay, got probably. It.
But
I sound like such a boomer.
I'm not really sure why Sean all of a sudden randomly does this. Like he. What's the point?
Just like the way it sounds in front of my name. So
that's how white people can almost say the N-word without saying the N-word.
Right. It's implied.
Great. So now we have Jews, We talk about Jews, the YN, and Mayhem going through a fucking bending, whatever it's called. This is perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Every time, I guarantee every time Mayhem goes through security, it's like 50-50 of whether he's getting through or not. Like every time.
Yeah, like, I mean, shouldn't he be through at this point? It's been a while.
This is the
maybe
longest.
He's getting frisked.
Hey, Adam, I just thought of something. What if Bryce Mitchell has to get ambulanced out of there and then they blow up the ambulance?
That's great, man. Are you saving everything you've wanted to save to Carolla for me? Because I feel like you want to save the stuff Adam Carolla, but you're like, fuck, I don't want to fuck up this job. So I'll just wait till I talk to my buddy Adam and I'll just say all the fucking dumb shit to him, because what is he going to do? Throw me off a show I don't want to be on anyway? Like, I feel like, is that really what we're doing here?
No. Listen, haven't you noticed the theme in my life? Ever since I even worked at Subway, my job has always been to come right up to the line of getting fired for as long as possible.
Oh, really? Yeah. You never got in trouble, ever. And who hired you at Subway? Like, when did you work?
I worked at Subway when I was 15.
In Atlanta?
No, yeah, in North Carolina. And man, it was my first time having a talking to where somebody fired me. Like, I just don't think the gay manager was like, I just don't think this is working out for you. And I was like, damn it. It was the first in a many a long talk.
What did you do? What did you do at Subway to get fired?
Well, okay. What did I not do? First of all, I wouldn't make sandwiches for the fat girls in favor of making sandwiches for the glamour shot girls.
But they pay like you. The
girls would get all my, and then you know, I was a skateboarder, so I always had like a disgusting scab that looked like bacon right here on my arm, you know.
Yeah.
And I just always be like that. One time I came to work with a spiderweb tattoo drawn with Sharpie on my head, a bald head. You know, I just wasn't a sandwich artist. You know, I was more of a sandwich graffiti artist.
Yeah, I used to work at Kenny Rogers Roaster's Chicken, and I used to cut the chicken. I actually lost my virginity to a girl named Maria, who I cut chicken with. I took her back to my place, and all I knew about was porn, so I put her legs over her head, because that's what I watched porn, and then she queefed, and I didn't know what a queef was, so I heard like, and I thought I broke it. Like, I thought I broke her pussy. I'm like, what was that? And then she's like, oh, that was me. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I also forgot that I finger blasted Daria Powell-Pahutina inside the pickle room.
Wait, spell the full name, please.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think I knocked over a jar of peppercinis. So,
wait, you finger blasted the girl in the Subway room?
Yeah, I was really trying to get some pornographic thing going. You know, I was 15 years old, but she didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. So I just finger blasted her and knocked over the peppercinis.
This is the greatest show. Bill, how did you lose your virginity?
I can't be yelling finger blast to LAX.
what?
People just looked at me. Hey, I think one guy is a fan back there, MMA Roasted.
Bill, how did you lose your virginity?
It wasn't that interesting. It wasn't a good story like you guys. It was in a committed relationship.
Oh, God.
But it was with a Mexican, so it seems like we do lose our virginities to people who aren't white.
It was a Mexican in Virginia?
Yeah.
They get around, bro.
Yeah, they're everywhere, dude.
They get around. I just didn't know. You know, I don't know if it was at Brown or at Princeton, wherever you went to.
You thought I lost my virginity in college? You son of a bitch.
I mean, I was pretty close because I went to, you know.
Oh, we're talking lose your virginity? Oh, no, bro. What are you talking about? That was me with dog face Rhonda in the back of the 7-Eleven.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah. This girl named Rhonda. She looked like an ape of some sort with braces. So it was like disconcerting. She like was a complete and utter cooler. And we like went in the back, and there's all these pine needles poking my legs. I couldn't get. And my friend was like, "Let's go." I was trying to put the condom on backwards. It was a nightmare, bro. It was the worst time of my life.
Wait, her name was Dogface Rhonda.
Later on we identified that Dogface thing, but yeah, she was Dogface Rhonda. She had like underbite, like jowls. Just looked like she was she had like a boy's haircut too. I mean, that explains a lot of the cowboy district to me, that's for sure.
Wait, how old were you?
Oh.
How old were you?
14, 13.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right. So, well, we got that out of the way. Now we have to ask YN Big Sexy. Sean, before we leave, Mayhem lost his virginity to Dogface Rhonda behind a 7-Eleven when he was 14. Mine was Maria at Kenny Rogers Chicken. Bill was in a committed relationship with a pretty Mexican from Virginia. And you?
Mine was with my current fiance, Robin.
This is complete bullshit.
It was that, or I'll tell you the truth and tell you it was Bruce Buffer at UFC 119. I feel embarrassed to tell you that.
You had two kids before your current fiance. Okay, so.
It's immaculate conception.
Let me guess. You were probably, 18, 19?
I got married as a virgin, man, the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was raised in church, like, real heavy. And what's weird, because we had three convicted pedophiles living with us straight out of prison, like a halfway house. But luckily, they were heterosexual pedophiles, so otherwise I would have been molested at some point. But one of them was a 5-foot-tall Vietnamese guy who always tried to get me to do chores in exchange for teaching me karate. But my little brother took him up on it. It was always odd to hear in the basement, like, up, down, in, out, while he was teaching my brother karate. I don't know. But
so he wanted
to ask my little brother. I asked my little brother one time if he ever got molested by the 5-foot-tall Vietnamese. His name was Cui Lee. I'll send you a video of him later. But I asked my little brother if he ever got molested as a kid by him. He goes, no. I said, would you tell me if he did? He goes, no.
Oh, so, God. Why was there a 5-foot Vietnamese guy living at your house?
Oh. Because there are no 6-foot-tall Vietnamese men. My parents were all sold out to like Jesus in church. So you could be like a serial killer, but if you found Jesus, you could live with him on your feet. So we had at one point three convicted felons. One of them was one of my brothers, but three convicted felons living in our basement. And we called it Cell Block F. We literally did. We called our basement Cell Block F. And people were like, why? Because if you went down there after 9 o'clock at night, you might get fucked. So the one Vietnamese dude had pictures of bodybuilding women glued on the wall that he was jerking off to, obviously.
Jesus.
Like, so women, it was a strange childhood, man. So
my sister, when she was like 13, was like dating like a 19-year-old headbanger, and he was like living with us. And she went through like a whole headbanger phase. And one guy, like, I think, killed himself with a gun. His name was Janie. And my dad kept yelling, Janie's got a gun, and like singing it around the house.
Oh, holy crap. Sometimes things just are their own joke. Like, they write their own punchline.
Oh, this
like Brendan Schaub with the line, what the fuck?
What was that, Jason? What did you say, Jason?
I said, we're coming of age on MMA Roasted now.
All right, so Bill, what do you got coming up?
Mondays at the Laugh Factory. That's pretty much it.
Jason, where are you heading to?
Yo, Las Vegas, man, the MVP Awards. Hopefully I'll get an award. Maybe there's some money attached to it. God bless America. But either way, I don't care.
What are the MVP?
MVP, man, emerging veterans and players. It's a charity that I work with that I coach some guys. I've done seminars for the veterans, you know. We're trying to get veterans hooked up with professional athletes because we go through some of the same stuff getting out of the sport as getting out of the service.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah. And Sean, what do you got coming up?
I got a car delivery apparently on Monday now that I drove home for on a Friday. So I'm looking forward to that. But
where does that Vietnamese guy live now, by the way?
I think in Illinois. It was weird because he could only find girls to date who had a 2 or 3 year old daughter, like his whole life. He just kept falling in love with single moms with the kids the same age, you know, like 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, no.
So when we went to his, He allegedly had sex with a 17-year-old when he was 19. And then we went to his parole hearing. And they were like, what about this where you hit a guy in the face with a hammer? The judge was asking about that. What about when you had attempted murder in New York City? And he's like, how old are you actually? And the guy was like, 34. He goes, no, how old really? He goes, well, 39. But my birth. So come to find out, he molested an 11-year-old girl when he was 27. But he said he was 18 and the girl was 17. That's what he told my parents. Personally, a felon would lie. But
God, I'm really sorry I asked you about your virginity. All of a sudden... Led to the fucking first 48.
If you knew that 5-foot-tall Vietnamese men would be involved, you wouldn't have talked about it at all.
No, this is the weirdest fucking show. And like we've covered fights for 4 minutes. None of us even know the fighters. And then it comes to like McCorkle's brother being molested by a Vietnamese guy. Fucking who knows where Mayhem went? Don disappeared.
Yeah. And by the way, Patty Pimlet is going to win.
Okay, Patty Pimlet's going to win. Well, thank you. If you go to adamhuntercomedy.com, you can see where I'm going to be. You guys are the best. Take care, brother.
All right.